Hey friends, welcome to the Make Life Matter podcast. I'm Angela Donadio, and each week I share compelling conversations with leading voices. They encourage us to ground our worth in the word instead of the narrative of the world. Together, we'll make our lives matter no matter what. Here's this week's episode. Well, hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. And I am meeting a brand new friend today. So she's going to be possibly new to you, but she's going to share her story. She's not new in the writing industry, but she's a brand new traditionally published author with a brand new book and a heart to reach those who are feeling broken by circumstances. And listen, it is not easy right now in our culture. Many of us feel like we're struggling with hope, with encouragement, with not feeling discouraged about situations, either personally or just things we see around us. And like so many, Julie Sunny found herself asking how she could trust God for good when everything looked so wrong. So if that's a pain point for you, like so many of us, you're going to want to lean in for this conversation. As difficult personal circumstances of miscarriage and disability began to sow seeds of doubt and fear, Julie found hope in exploring the attributes of God. So her brand new book, Sometimes I Forget, through it, Julie invites us into a journey of intimate connection with God amid life's challenges. She helps us to build trust in God. We're going to talk about understanding the power of prayer and how to find hope even in despair. So welcome, Julie. I'm so excited and honored to have you here on the Make Life Matter podcast.
Oh, it's just such a joy to be here, Angela. Thank you for having me.
Well, you've been so gracious. I had to move it once because I didn't feel well. And then I was late today because of an appointment. So just so you know, guys, she's very, very gracious behind the scenes. But Julie, I've never met you. So we have a mutual friend. And so I'm so glad to have you. Actually, Amber Cullum, who was just on the podcast not long ago, connected us. But tell us a little bit about your story. I would love to hear more about the book in a moment. But you have walked through your own, you know, seasons of time in your life where hope maybe what felt like it was at least difficult to hold on to, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
Talk about these seasons of miscarriage, of disability, and how this became really your passion to explore the attributes of God.
Yeah, absolutely. Certainly not the life I had dreamed of when I was a little girl or expected. And I think probably most of us could look at our lives and say it's not really how we would have scripted it.
Right.
But I have learned that God knows best, and that's what I need to hold on to. So I had a fairly easy childhood and was raised in the church. And so I knew God as sovereign, as the Lord of Lords. I didn't have a real great understanding of him as more of a personal God, I would say. But I definitely knew him as creator and savior. And so when I was younger, things were pretty good. I grew up on a farm and loved it and had five siblings and, you know, had a built-in baseball team and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
and really enjoyed my childhood. And then when I got married, my husband and I, after college, we got married and then waited a few years and thought, now's the time for a family. And so when I got pregnant the first time, tragedy was not, you know, hardship was not on my radar. I think a lot of us are quite naive and have expectations of when we want to start a family, it will happen and things will go well. And I got pregnant and we shared it with our families, just so excited. And it was probably about my first appointment, I found out that they did not hear a heartbeat. And and that just devastated me right there. They weren't ready to say that the pregnancy was terminating at that point, but they weren't giving me much hope either. So a week or two later, I went back and it was confirmed that the baby was no longer growing. And I was fairly early along, so people would not have noticed. And we lived a little ways from family. So it was a very lonely, scary, sad time for me. My husband and I were grieving very differently, but it just sent me into, Angela, it sent me into such a spiral of depression that I had never experienced before. And I didn't know how to reconcile I knew God was sovereign, and I didn't know how to reconcile that with the idea that he could be a good God and allow something so tragic to happen to me. And it was really interesting because when you're in grief, and you probably know this, when you're in grief, you really aren't thinking very rationally. And so, looking back, some of the thoughts I had were quite, in my mind, kind of silly, that now I would never be able to have children again, and just some of the silly things. But it was definitely a deep, deep depression, and it took kind of the Lord used a miraculous dream in my life to start bringing me around, to start trying to understand and feel like maybe I can give, maybe there's more to God than I know. And that was a real turning point in my faith, I think, at that point. Now it then about a year, how long was it? Probably a year or two later, I did get pregnant again, and I had our son. But he was born with a disabled arm and was rushed to the NICU. So we had some struggles with his birth. Then I had another little boy just probably 14 months later. So things looked like they were picking up. And then I had two more miscarriages. And so my faith was not a mature faith. And so it was really riding on the circumstances of my life. So when I had these sweet little boys, I was on, my faith was up here. I was on a high, and I was like, yes, Lord, and then when I had my miscarriages, I remember running screaming in the woods and just, where are you, Lord? And how can you allow this? And all of that. And so it was a very much a shaky roller coaster faith. And after then I had my daughter, and then I had two more miscarriages, and then we had my youngest son. And my husband said that was enough of that. So, it was five miscarriages, four live births over about 8 or 9 years. And as you can, when you don't have a mature faith, when you don't really understand who the Lord is, the circumstances are what you hold on to, and the circumstances are fickle. And our feelings, I think we hold on to our feelings, and those are even worse. So that's what the Lord had to work with, was someone who really didn't understand who he was. And he used the circumstances of my life. When I look back now, I can see that he did allowed in my life exactly what I needed to get to know him and to start growing my faith to the point where struggles still are hard. And looking at the future, my daughter, who's our third live birth, was born with disabilities that we didn't really realize the extent of her disabilities. And it slowly rolled out to find out that she is moderately intellectually impaired. She's 26 and functions at about a 3-year-old level. And so her future is a big concern to me. And what's going to happen when my husband and I can no longer care for her? She still lives in our home, and we haven't decided that there's anything better for her at this point. But her future is a big concern to me. And when I forget who the Lord is, my panic goes through the roof. And there's some stories in the book that really illustrate that well. And it kind of reminds me of the story in the Bible where Peter took his eyes off the Lord and was sinking. And when I take my eyes off the Lord and who he is, that's when I sink, and that's when panic and the Satan can really get a hold of me. And so I look back, and everything that the Lord allowed in my life, as tragic, as hard as they were, and I wouldn't want to wish that on anybody, and I wouldn't want to go back through that, but I see how I needed to get to the end of who I've always probably, I think growing up on a farm, growing up with boys, I just felt I could handle things and I could do stuff. And I had the strength in myself. And the Lord really needed me to realize that I couldn't handle the things in my life. I really needed to know there was someone, some entity out there who did know the future, who could provide for my daughter, who could handle things that I can't handle and wants to. and wants to be there for me and loves me enough to help me. And
Yeah.
so that's why I wrote this book, is because when I forget who the Lord is, I'm lost and I'm a mess. And the circumstances dictate my feelings, my
Yeah.
emotions, how I deal with the day. But when I know that the Lord is unchanging, when I know that He is everywhere present all the time,
Right.
infinite, eternal, gracious, yes, just even, and even wrathful. You know, the things that happen in my life, when I understand His character, when I understand, when I rested on Him, all of that stuff, whether not necessarily makes sense, but is much easier to accept and find peace in than when I don't.
No, I so appreciate you sharing your story, Julie. And I think so many of us can relate to, we thought our life would look one way, it looks something different, a situation unfolds. And what that really does is challenge the core of our faith, the core of our trust. Do we really trust God? We can
Yes.
say we do until, like you're saying, Peter's looking at, well, wait a minute, I'm sinking. And then that's a different story. Wait a minute, I'm staring down three, four, five miscarriages, uncertainty surrounding your children. These are real and raw feelings that you understandably we would navigate. And as I was listening to you talk, Julie, I was thinking, God does not cause these things to happen. We live in a fallen, broken world, and pain, suffering, it is going to happen. He doesn't want it. He's compassionate toward us when we go through things. But at the same time, I was thinking, you said I knew God, but I didn't really have, I was kind of like not mature in your faith. That was your expression. And it dawned on me that in some way, I know Philip Yancey has said it this before, pain can be a gift. If we allow it to draw us closer to who God is, and in your case, it served as a catalyst to say, wait a minute, I'm not going to make it like this. Kind of up and down on my emotions, a good day when things are going good, a bad day when they're not. It's not God's best for us. So you were basically, and I've heard this so many times on the podcast, Julie, where something happened in our lives that was a catalyst, and either we become bitter, we give into that doubt, we give into that, how could you be good when this is not good? And my dad and I wrote about that, about the life of Thomas. Is God good when life is not? That's the big question that we have to wrestle with a lot. But at the same time, many of us, if we allow the Holy Spirit to do his work, it draws us toward a deeper relationship with God. And so I love
Absolutely.
that that has been your story, Julie. I'm sorry and I hate what you've been through, but I love how God used it and worked in your life through it to bring you into a deeper relationship with him. I want to talk about the attributes of God. Your face began to lit up. If you're watching on video, like Julie, your face lifted when you began to talk about the attributes of God. I love that. I love it. Just shows you're in love with Jesus, and it's obvious. It's all over your face. But how did learning the attributes of God, because you mentioned 66 attributes of God in the book, you focus on this and you help us to focus on it as kind of our pathway out of anxiety and panic into, wait a minute, stop forgetting who God is, remember who he is. So talk about these attributes and how do they help us to build trust in God?
Well, I think it really depends on kind of where we're at in our situations, which attribute. And the first thing I would say is there's no one attribute of God that weighs stronger. You know, a lot of times we'll throw out God is love or God is just even, but there's no one attribute that outweighs the others, I would say. God is perfectly who God is. And as a perfect divine being, all of his attributes kind of, it's really difficult. There is no human language that can describe our Lord. I mean, there isn't.
Completely
So
other.
just keep that in mind when I'm trying to make a when I'm making a mess of this. But all of his attributes, you know, are perfectly entwined maybe, or perfectly work together to be our perfectly divine Father, God. And so when we have to be careful when we're talking about individual attributes, it's so that we remember that, because and because he's unchanging, there's no time when he's more of when one is the fly just about got me when one is more than that, you know, is he's more loving than
Right.
he is just, you know, he's
He's
all
all those
perfectly
things
off.
at all the
Yes, he's
time.
all
Right.
perfectly
That's
off.
good. That's a good
So,
insight.
yeah. So I think the first one that I had to wrestle with, Angela, is God is sovereign. Because as you said, he does not cause things, but he, everything that we, that happens to us, he's sovereign. He's in charge.
He
Everything that
allows
happens
it.
to us
That's
goes
right.
through his fingers.
That's
So
right.
he allows it in our life, but he has a purpose for allowing it in his life. And because, so that's what we all struggle with, right? God is sovereign. So he could stop that. But because we know he's also perfectly loving,
Yeah.
and he's perfectly merciful, and he's perfectly gracious, then we can mesh these things and we can say, okay, because yes, he's sovereign, so he could stop it. But because he's all-knowing and he's already in the future and he's already all-loving and all good, we can trust that he's allowing it because there is a reason for him to
Right.
allow it
Right.
that we can't see. He's mysterious. He's
Yeah.
incomprehensible. So we aren't going to understand it, and that's why I think the why question is so detrimental, because we can't even understand the why because we don't know what he knows.
That's right. That's right.
So it's not going to, and is it really going to help me if I know why my daughter has lifelong difficulties, disabilities? Is it
Yes.
really going to help me practically? I don't think so. I need to know that the heart of God is for me to an extent that he is going to only allow what needs to be allowed in my life for what he wants to accomplish, which is to be a clearer images of him and to glorify him with our life. So when we remember those things, then the things we don't understand take on less importance.
That's so good.
And that's exactly where I had to get. I had to be able to let go of needing to be strong, for one thing, which I still struggle a lot with needing to understand the why, which continues to be, you know, I need to let go of knowing exactly what's going to keep my daughter safe because I can't know all of that because I can't know the future. But I can let go of those things when I continue to remind myself of those, not just 60, I wrote about 60 attributes, but our God is infinite.
Wow.
So, you know, we don't even have the language to describe so many of his attributes. And so when I think the attributes of God have helped me realize the magnitude of our Lord
Yes.
and that his character covers everything, everything. And when we can remember that's when we can find peace in those circumstances. And you know, that's what Paul said, you know, I can be content in any circumstance, because of God's grace. And the grace is a part grace is really a part of all of who he is. You know,
Yes.
his being is grace to us.
Yes. And like you're saying, Julie, there's so much wisdom in what you're saying. I've never thought about the fact that if I'm upset or sad or loving or advocating for justice, in my mind, we're kind of navigating one emotion at a time. I'm this characteristic at this moment. I've really never fully thought, although I understand it intellectually, I've never thought about it until I hear you talk. God is all of these things all of the time. It's not like a,
And
it's
all
not like
perfectly in sync,
a,
all
all
of it perfectly
perfectly.
working together. Yeah.
So even just grasping that, we can't grasp that because we are not infinite. We're finite beings and we don't have this capability, number one. Although we're created in the image of God, we aren't, we don't have his, we're not God. We're not omniscient. We're not
Right.
omnipotent the way he is. So knowing that, what confidence does that give me that, excuse me, we don't have to worry, what kind of mood is God in today? You know, which
Absolutely.
characteristic card is he pulling out of his deck? That's not the God that we serve. We have a
No.
God who is all things at all time. And as you mentioned, Paul, he said, listen, God can make all grace abound to you at all times, having all that you need. So all is all. It's all
Yeah.
encompassing.
Yeah.
We get tripped up, like you said, though, when something happens and I've talked about it here on the podcast with my own health journey, and so I won't belabor it, but the challenge comes in, not only in this why question that's kind of chasing your tail. Why did this happen? Why did you let this happen? You can ask that. You may or may not get an answer. And like you said, it may or may not make any difference. And it may just cause you to be more discouraged rather than, okay, God, what I've learned to ask is, what do you want me to learn from this? And how can you use this for your glory? And so that's putting it, that's reframing. You're not negating the reality of a situation. It is a tough situation. Christ said, you're going to have problems. You're going to have trials and tribulations in this world, but don't despair. I've already overcome the world. I'm going to be with you. I'm never going to leave you in them. But the crux of what you mentioned, Julie, is, you know, when God allows something, and we know he's sovereign. This has been my issue 20 years ago when my health fell apart is, do I trust you when you are sovereign and you allowed this to happen? Are you still good when God, when this is not, is God still good? And we have to settle that question in our own heart for ourselves, because you're going to constantly come up against a new situation that isn't good. And if we equate it, this isn't good, therefore God isn't good. What we're doing is putting his character on trial, even though we would never say that. He cannot be anything other than good. So it's,
and it lowers them to our level.
100% it does. It does. And we're saying, I think you should do it a certain way. And like you said, I don't see the good. I don't see what you see. You can't possibly have good in this for me. Now, let's not mistake that a situation may not be good. Evil is not good. Broken things, brokenness of this world, we're not calling that good. We're saying God is a redemptive God, and he,
and even death, you know, I mean, death ushers us into heaven,
the presence of God,
but death itself is not the original plan.
That's right.
And so, so even though death is an enemy, so to speak, you know, it God redeems it for good through Jesus Christ. And I want to make sure that, that we mention too, that we don't need to beat ourselves up when we just, when we struggle or grow angry or have some questions or ask the why questions, you know, that's not helpful either.
That's
and
good.
So we, God gave us feelings, you know, the feelings are a gift, but Satan knows how to twist that and how to use them against us as well. And because we are, yes, created in the image of God, in some ways it creates a little bit of, because we have that, I think that's where some of this desire comes from to, or the pretense that we know what, know enough or know more or can understand more. I think a little bit of, you know, and that's a whole nother conversation, but I want to make sure that people don't beat themselves up and don't shame themselves.
That's good, Julie.
When we have those emotions, they are God-given emotions. Mm-hmm. Now, but what do we do with those?
Yes.
You know, I think that's the important thing. And where do we land as we work through them? We can't sit in bitterness. Like, you know, when I had my first miscarriage, I was going to sit there and it was almost like I wanted to feel bad or something, you know, that the Lord asked, you know, do you want to get well? He asked the man, and the, you know, do you want to get well? And maybe that's a question some of us need to ask ourselves. You know, what do we do with that bitterness and that pain? And if we want to, we can sit in it. I mean, the Lord is not going to force our hand.
That's good.
But what I found through all the ups and downs of, you know, the blessings, and I guess they were all blessings in the end as he redeems them. But the difficult things and the joyous things that I experienced in life, the whole point of that, what is he using that for? You know, what am I to do with all of those situations? And I need to find an evenness in that, in all of it, the Lord is good. In all of it, the Lord is just. In all of it, he's merciful. In all of it, he's sovereign. And the only way, I think, or at least a very good way, is to know the one who's promised us goodness and abundance. Because those promises are only good as the one who makes them. So how can we trust the promises if we can't?
That's so
if
good.
We don't know the one who makes
the promise,
give
that 100%. That's so good.
And I think once we know him, you're right. We have to settle it for ourselves. I mean, there will be people who will can know intellectually everything about God, and they're still going to say, nope. But that's, you know, but when we truly know him and when we can see that all he allows for us, he can only be good, as we talked about. He can only be loving. You know, when we can put all of that together in the package of this sovereign, infinite, amazing God, then that's when we can have peace in our situations.
It's so good, Julie. And I think too, it's important to say there, I love that you mentioned, like, don't beat yourself up. Like, this is a process. It's not like you had a miscarriage and the next day, you know, you're walking around quoting Romans 8:28 to everybody, which can I just mention, let's not lead with that when someone's going through a difficult, and, well, you know, God works all things together for good. Like, we know that, but that's not the right thing to say at that moment. You know, the Lord says we weep with those who weep. We comfort those when they mourn. So we need to honor the process. But what we're describing here is, let's at least allow God to do the process in our heart. Let's not stay in that posture of you cannot possibly be good, because that will become hardness of heart. We'll miss what God is doing. Yes. So that's really what we're saying. We understand there's a process. We're not saying you just put rose-colored glasses on and just move on quickly and act like nothing has ever happened.
Right.
I'm glad you clarified that. We don't want to shame anybody. We want you to just allow God to do what he's trying to do in and through. Yeah. And I'm imagining, because this is one of your main points that you talk about, with sometimes I forget, is prayer has been probably a big piece of how you've continued to let this process unfold. So talk about the power of prayer in our own lives as we kind of move toward wrapping up.
Yeah. Yeah. A prayer is such an incredible tool that the Lord has given us. Mm. And, you know, only through the sacrifice of Jesus, you know, can we directly communicate with our Creator, with our sovereign God, you know, which is just an amazing thing. And for me, I really think of prayer as that, you know, a talking, a communicating with our Savior. And whatever we're saying to him, it kind of goes back to not, you know, shaming ourselves for our feelings, because as long as we're dialoguing with him, that means we are still understanding and accepting that he is there, right? Yeah. And so as long as that dialogue happens, that's going to be big in our life, and God can use it as a tool in our life. It's when we, And I distinctly remember, you know, after especially the first probably two or three miscarriages, when I was still really trying to understand who he was and why he would allow these things in my life, when I thought I was a good person, why he would allow hard things, my feelings would dictate what I did. You know, I would push him away. I literally would say, if this is who you are, Lord, if this is what there is, then I'm not sure I want to follow you.
Yeah.
But when you continue that dialogue, when you continue to be open to the possibility of what God has in your impossibility, then he continues, you can sense him. And that's what I found was, you know, when I'm laying on the damp floor on the damp ground in the middle of the woods and just crying out and not wanting him to be, not knowing where he was, not understanding what he was allowing, and just pouring out my hurt. The Lord was there to receive it, and he was just there. It's sort of like how we should be sitting with people, you know, and like you said, don't lead with Romans 8:28. We need to acknowledge, you know, God acknowledges our feelings. He gave us them. He understands them.
Yes.
He knows we're going to have them. So it's not a surprise to him when we right. lash out, maybe in anger or in deep grief, you know, but the thing that we can't bury ourselves so deep in that hole that we never allow for the possibility that God has something for us, because that's where that bitterness can take over. I think expectations in our life is such a huge problem. And I think prayer is what allows us, as we can continue to communicate with God, it changes our hearts, because we realize as we dialogue with him that he's still there. whatever we dialogue, whatever, you know, whether we are yelling at him in the moment or not, you know, that when I told the Lord, I didn't know that I wanted to follow him. He didn't say, okay, or run away. You know, he didn't force me, you know, but he was lovingly present. And I knew he was always, I could just sense him as I look back on those days, whether I could in the moment or not. And prayer turns our hearts so that we can start to acknowledge that God has something else there.
Yes.
And it is a form of surrender, that we can say, okay, Lord, I don't understand this. Help me to understand. It's sort of like that whole, you know, help my unbelief, you know, because we don't understand. And so we have to surrender and submit to his understanding. And that's where prayer can really turn our hearts. And it doesn't always seem, it's often in just tiny increments, but as long as we can continue to talk to him, whether in whatever emotions and whatever feelings we have, that dialogue is just going to continue to make a difference in our life, to help us to see a little bit more clearly who he is, right, and what he's doing, and even to be able to accept what we can't see and what he's doing.
That's so good.
And I hope that helps.
Oh, 100%. We just always need to keep that dialogue open, you know, even if you're like, look at the Psalms, the lamenting, venting it out, but they also say, but you are God. You know, they always end with this, like, you are still God. Even Job, I mean, you have like a whole, you know, 20, 30 chapters in there, but the end is like, hey, my ears had heard of you. Now my eyes have seen you. Like, I, you know, I've learned your sides of your character, who you are. You also mentioned something, and I know we have to wrap up, but there's another angle of this that you kind of quickly said is, I thought, how is this happening when I'm a good person? And so the lie of the enemy is, if this is happening to you and God has allowed it to happen, something must be wrong with you. You don't have enough faith, or you're this or you're that. When we start believing these lies, that's another whole angle that would take another conversation, a whole other podcast. But I just want to encourage someone today. That is not the voice of the Lord speaking to you. Now, the Holy Spirit can convict us if there's something that needs to change, a heart attitude, a motive, a thought pattern. But, you know, this idea of, I thought I was a good person and yet this is happening. You can be right in the center of God's will and be going through tremendous adversity and hardship. So be encouraged today. Let pain become a gift, even though it's such a hard thing to say that, but I've walked it through in my own life. God, I don't necessarily want this, but if this is going to be what we're walking through, help me to see you. Help me to know more about you. Show yourself strong. Help me learn about your character through this. Help me then tell about your character to others because of what you've done in my life. And so there's just so much that you're sharing here. How do you want people to get a copy of the book, Julie? Sometimes I forget, and don't we all? So we all could use this book. Sometimes I forget. How would you like for them to connect with you and get a copy?
Yeah, you can go. There's a website out there, sometimesiforget.com. Feel free to jump there. You can also go to my website, juliesunny.com, and there's a book page there. It should be available all booksellers. So if you have a favorite local bookseller, even if they're not carrying it, just ask. They can certainly get it. It's readily available. And I would love, if you do go to my website at juliesunny.com, there is, I have some freebies. If you sign up for my subscriber list, there's a bunch of freebies there, as well as an ebook right off the bat that you can, that kind of settles your soul on some good scriptures.
Oh, so I love that.
Have a godly book.
I'll put that link here in the show notes, guys, because her last name is spelled Sunne. That's so correct. If you're looking for that, Julie Sunny, but Sunne. Julie's going to pray for us in just a moment. But Julie, I always like to ask one last question. Other than Jesus, who in the Bible has really inspired you to make your life matter for the kingdom?
There's a number of them, but I just, as we were talking earlier, when you just had mentioned that, and I had looked at our show notes beforehand for the questions that you would ask, what popped into my head was Ruth. And so I would grab onto Ruth because she trusted so much in what she didn't know.
Yeah.
And I think that was just incredible from the time when she left her country, you know, to follow Naomi. And she had lost so much, you know, a husband, and she didn't have children. And back then that was just, you know, devastating for women. And then just to even try, you know, to stay with Naomi and to try to help and love her. And then to be, you know, to go and almost do something as scandalous as lay at, you know, the feet of Boaz. And that took so much faith and so much surrender. I think it's just beautiful. Of course, you know, there's so many others, but I think for now, that's what I would say. It's just,
yeah,
you know,
it's a beautiful
can
story.
Can I walk when I don't understand? Can I walk with the Lord when I don't understand?
Right.
And that's exactly what she did.
We get the luxury of reading the end of the story, right? We read through Ruth a few chapters and we're done. We move on to the next book. Like, she's living it in real time. We have to remember, like, slow down and read these stories. They're not just characters. They're real people. And they give us what we need to walk through our own painful circumstances. And I'm not surprised, because she's a beautiful example of surrender, trusting in God, even when we don't understand our circumstances. Listen, you can trust God. You cannot trust in your circumstance, because that is not going to serve you well in the long run. So
our expectations are such a trip, such a trap for us.
That's,
know,
because, so good. That's so good.
We have to be careful about what we expect.
We do. And it's a constant learning lesson in life, right? We're not just going to arrive. This is going to be an ongoing thing of continuing to trust God in new ways, maybe see new attributes that we've never seen before. And God will give us what we need. We have to go to him in prayer. As Julia said, maybe you're feeling really discouraged today. Maybe you're walking through a really difficult, maybe very similar situation to Julia. I just pray that her stories encouraged you. Sometimes I Forget is the name of the book. We encourage you to go get a copy. And Julie, I'm going to invite you to just close us in prayer, especially for anyone today that really is struggling with their circumstances, that this would be the encouragement they need to really turn toward God and know that they can trust him. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. I'd love to pray. Dear Father, you are sovereign Lord, but you are so much more. You are loving and gracious. You are just. You are infinite, Lord, and you are in our future before we even know what that might be. Lord, help us to trust in all of who you are. Those difficult circumstances can just, they can level us, Lord, but we can put our trust in you, and you will not give up on us. You are there for us even when we can't feel you. You're invisible, so you can be there. You can manifest yourself in ways that we need, and you're so near, Lord, but you're also so above everything that we can know that you can handle it. We may have a mountain, but a mountain is not an impossibility to you, Lord. We may face the biggest giant, but you can handle any giant, Lord. And you are just near and dear enough that you will reach to us, and you will work in our lives individually. It may not look like our neighbor, but it doesn't have to, because you know exactly what my heart needs and what the listener's heart needs, Lord. So I just pray that all who are listening would continue to dialogue with you, would base their expectations, would hold their expectations loosely, Lord, knowing that you know what's best and you love them so much to only allow what's best in their lives. And that best doesn't always look good to us, but you will redeem it and you will make it to be good. You will, provide only the best for us, Lord. Help us to trust you. Help us to continue to dialogue with you no matter what we go through, and just comfort the hearts of those who are listening who are struggling so much, Lord. You are worthy of our praise. Help us to come to that that conclusion and that trust as we continue to walk, and help us to forgive ourselves when we stumble, because you forgive us, Lord. You're so merciful. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thanks for joining the conversation. If you've been inspired to make life matter, share a review and subscribe anywhere you listen to podcasts so you don't miss an episode. Connect with me at angeladonatio.com, Facebook at angeladonatiovov, and Instagram at angeladonatio. Until next week, let's make life matter.